This is God and Autobiography, the podcast, as told to a philosopher by Jerry L. Martin. He was a lifelong agnostic, but one day he had an occasion to pray. To his vast surprise, God answered in words. Being a philosopher, he had a lot of questions, and God had a lot to tell him. Episode 14. The external world and consciousness are one and the same thing, writes Erwin Schrödinger, the great 20th century physicist. In My View of the World, he sees the deep meaning of quantum mechanics expressed in the Hindu philosophy of Vedanta. This sounds important, I thought. Lord, I am reading Schrödinger, and—
No, that is not the way truth lies.
But I felt you wanted me to read something scientific, so—
You didn't pray for guidance about what to read.
What do you want me to read, Lord? I get the sense that you want me to read something that cuts against scientific orthodoxy.
Yes.
But what does that?
History of science. History of views that didn't work out.
Like astrology?
Something like that.
Paul Feyerabend was a philosopher-scientist. On the cover of his books, where others list their degrees and honors, he gives his astrological chart. I had known and liked him. He had a remarkable appreciation for the unpredictable vitality of the life of the mind, and hence great respect for views that didn't work out. In his iconoclastic Against Method, Feyerabend, a physicist himself, assembles a fascinating array of examples from the history of science to show that science does not depend on canons of rational method. Rather, the practice of science, quote, can stand on its own feet and does not need any help from rationalists. And non-scientific cultures, procedures, and assumptions can also stand on their own feet and should be allowed to do so, end quote. Today, the standard view is that science and religion are opposites. But it was his theology that led Newton to regard space, quote, the sensorium of God, end quote, as absolute, and a different theology that led Leibniz to uphold relativity 2 centuries before Einstein made a fateful decision to study physics rather than music. Lord, what does this reading have to do with my assignment?
The history of science is my story. The history of human efforts to understand the world is the history of humanity's relation to me. I am the point of interaction between human beings and the world.
What do you mean by point of interaction?
I am the medium through which human beings understand the world.
Is mind the medium?
Yes.
Are you saying that in addition to the human mind and the natural world, there is a divine mind somehow essential to the act of understanding? The answer I received addresses one of the deep mysteries of philosophy. How is it that consciousness relates to or intends an object, such as the Liberty Bell? For example, what is it about a thought that makes it a thought about the Liberty Bell? The thought is in your head, and the Liberty Bell is in Philadelphia. What connects them? There is a parallel question about language. How is it that a particular word relates to or refers to a particular object? The word itself is an object, a vocalized sound or a mark on a page. What connects the word bell to the bell? Sometimes it is said that one points to the other, but that is a figure of speech. As Ludwig Wittgenstein observes, the same question arises with pointing. When you stretch out your finger, why does it direct attention to an object across the room, rather than to itself.
Follow along and open your mind. Mind is like a fluid in which human beings and the natural world exist. By participating in the fluid, minds can understand. Think of the problem of intentionality. How is reference possible? How can essences be grasped? How can objects be seen? There must be an interaction, and it is not only causal physical. How could it be? Mind understanding is not just physical. It is a conscious fluid medium.
Is it somewhat physical?
Those categories are not helpful here. But it exerts a physical force, has physical consequences.
Later, I learned that there are some interpretations of quantum mechanics that use a similar concept to explain how an electron in one part of the universe can be in perfect sync with an electron in another part of the universe without any physical interaction between them. I was not aware of that at the time, but I had just read about dark matter and dark energy, dark because they cannot be seen but only inferred from gravitational and other effects. The mass of these previously unsuspected components are now thought to far exceed the total visible mass in the universe.
Yes, you should look into those. Think of it. Most of what is in the universe is unnoticed. It is inferred from gross phenomena, but it is inferred as force. Think of the human body. It is moved by the mind. How? Where is the mind? The mind is throughout the body. Its actions are registered, but it is not noticed. I am not noticed, but in fact, I am seen everywhere, and I am in the innermost being of man and in the innermost being of matter. Do not have contempt for matter. It is not the inert stuff of certain old theories. It is vital and alive and a part of me. The interaction of mind and matter is part of me, and I am the vehicle through which it takes place.
I have the feeling you want me to read and think less, and to listen more, and just write down your story.
Don't stop thinking, but think in a different way. Don't work so hard to figure everything out, to make it rational, to make it fit your categories. Just listen and think through the implications of what I tell you.
But some of what I learn from you comes from worrying over what you say.
Sometimes yes, but often no. Sometimes your questioning just gets in the way. The main point is to open your mind, to try to understand what I am saying on its own terms, and to see ways it might be true or understandable to you.
If something doesn't make sense to me, how am I supposed to see ways to make it understandable? Where is that vantage point to be found? Thank you for listening to God and Autobiography, the podcast. The words of God are spoken by Jerry L. Martin, who heard the voice. He can be reached at godandautobiography.com. The narration and dialogue of Mr. Martin are spoken by Scott Langdon, who can be reached at scottlangdonwrites.com. You can read the whole story in God and Autobiography as Told to a Philosopher by Jerry L. Martin, available now at amazon.com.